Hey, hello and welcome back, everybody, to the Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast with myself, Joe Oberle from VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com and Mark Craig from the Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. Mark, we're week three of Vikings training camp, and the storylines keep popping. Things are happening. Some things are coming into place. And some things are going out of whack. Like right after we got off the air last week, the injured Irv Smith had surgery on his thumb and is missing all of training camp. And he's projected to be there around there for the first regular season game against the Packers at US Bank Stadium, but there's no guarantee of that. What do you think of that news, and where does that leave this depleted tight end unit for the Minnesota Vikings?
Wow, that took a while, Joe. I believe that they're being exposed to, they didn't have a pass catching tight end behind Irv. It's blocking guys. Guys that are small school guys that are maybe a project. This tells you it's sort of like last year when the Kirk Cousins had the COVID for a week or so. You're like, oh, this is a good snapshot of where you're going to be without it. It's not to that extreme, but if they say that he obviously he's going to miss the preseason. They're hoping that he gets back for week one. The fact that it's his thumb, the fact that he can still run, stay in shape, and do all that stuff makes you think it's possible. But typically it's like when you're at the airport and they tell you your flight's been delayed an hour. It's really been delayed 2 hours. They just don't want to tell you right away. Wow. So I'd be surprised. I mean, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if he's there week one, but you can't really just say, well, we hope that he'll be back on week one and it'll happen, because history tells you that it's usually a little bit longer. So, they don't have a starting caliber tight end on the roster right now, where is what it is. Johnny Munt came over from the Rams. They like him. He's a blocker. He's played 5-6 years. He's caught 13 passes. Ben Ellefson, he's one of us. He's a guy that's he's played 5 games or whatever, or 12 games, and he's caught one pass for 10 yards. It's not good. It doesn't look good. I mean, it used to, When Rudolph was a little bit in his prime and they brought in Irv, that was a strength. Well, now that's a weakness right now.
Well, did they ever have a pass catching tight end behind Kyle Rudolph? Didn't they have blockers behind him?
Pretty much, but they when they brought Irv in, he wasn't a blocker. Conklin was a guy that people are saying that maybe Munt can grow into what Conklin was. That there are some skills there down the field, and he was kind of starting to break out with the Rams a little bit, people are saying, but I got to see it to believe it. I don't see him as a mismatch down the field at all. But maybe he surprises you if he's put into that role, because certainly people are not going to pay as much attention to him. So that's kind of where you, with Tyler Conklin, how he started to progress was people, ignored him basically, and then he started making some plays, and then Tyler has become a pretty good he's not going to be one of the elite tight ends, but he's a guy that grew into it. So that's what people are saying about Johnny Munt possibly becoming, but I gotta see it to believe it.
Zach Davidson, Nick Muse, and Sean Beyer fill out the tight end room there at TCO Performance Center. So nobody there is known for their passing skills. Is that by design, to have just all blocking tight ends, or you're just hoping that they develop those skills when you put them on the roster? What's the deal? I would think you'd have at least one guy backing up your starting tight end, who is seen as a very good pass catching tight end, someone with those skills behind him. But you're telling me that there's everybody else is a blocker primarily, and they if they catch a pass, it's a bonus.
Well, no, Davidson certainly didn't come into the league as a blocking tight end. He came in as a, he's the guy, that a rookie last year, the punter, punter slash tight end from the tiny school came in. He's 6'7". He's looks like a receiver. People are amazed by his speed. Kirk Cousins made a reference to some sort of the 20-mile-an-hour club that supposedly Zach was part of. And I kind of joked. I said, I want to see the speed gun. Not that he's slow, but I don't see him as like this, wow, this blazing guy is going down the field. In fact, I saw the times I've looked at him, Andrew Booth has been kind of, trotting alongside him. Now, it's a big mismatch physically, but yeah. I'm not seeing this great speed. But he's a guy that, they brought in as a project guy that could possibly be a pass-catching type guy. So he's in year two. It's a new system. I don't think he's ready to be a starter in the NFL. But he's right now it's Johnny Munt, number one, and then it's Davidson, number two, Ellefson, number three. Muse is the guy, he's got the benefit of being a draft pick, seventh round. He's a guy that, is not necessarily just a blocking guy. He had some pass catching ability in college, but he's a seventh round draft pick who's a rookie, so you can't really count on him. So they need Irv Smith to come back sooner than later.
Yeah. Do we know what happened to Irv Smith? Do we know how he hurt his thumb, or is it just another one of those in the ether of preseason injuries you never hear anything
about? Well, it was on that first it was the first day of contact, right. And you can bill yourself as the most player friendly, not soft, but player friendly. We're going to protect the players, but these guys still block and bang into each other, and he tore ligaments on what Connell said was a kind of a routine type blocking situation. So, he tore it, just playing football. And, it's kind of weird because last year, whenever he got injured in that game, there was no indication from watching the game that he was hurt. There was no indication for him. He came in after because he had a good game. He came into the press room afterwards and talked about it, didn't limp or anything. And the next day or 2 days later, he was done for the year. So, we were initially talking about this last week. He came back to the sideline. He didn't have his helmet on. Yeah. There was nothing on his hand or to indicate that there was anything wrong. So, I assumed that he was just, that he was, he tweaked it.
Yeah.
But if you tweak something now, you gotta be, like the Danielle Hunter tweak a couple of years ago ended up being a season long deal.
Is Irv turning into the current iteration of Rudy? What the hell's Rudy? Cal Rudolph, who came in with such promise when he was a rookie and just got injured a little bit every year and couldn't hardly get a full season in. And then in the second half of his career, he was, he was always there. So, right now we got another guy that he's got all this promise and he just can't get him on the field. But I don't know. I mean, it's a comparison. People like to call players injury prone. Well, it's bad luck, I think, because I don't know that if you get hurt, you get hurt, but anything can happen to anybody. I mean, look at Kirk Cousins as a quarterback who hardly misses a game. You'd think he'd get with his line that he's had in front of him, he'd get injured more often, but he doesn't. So I don't know. Any thoughts there?
Are you saying that if Irv Smith stays healthy, he's a good player?
I guess I am. Get the ticker going there.
But I pointed it out, so I think I get that. So some guys have that. When you have surgery, on your knee, that's through no fault of him. So, look at what Brett Favre was able to do. Would break his ankle and he'd play. He would break his thumb on his passing hand. He would play. He would take hits. He took a hit in Pittsburgh when he was with the Vikings that you thought there is no way. It's toward the end of the game. There is no way this guy's getting up from this. And he got up.
Even against the Saints in the NFC Championship game.
The Saints, yeah, they're insane. So, and that's, is Brett tougher than everybody else? No, probably. I mean, he's tough, but there's a lot of tough guys in the league, and Irv Smith is a tough guy, and it's just, I guess it's the luck of the draw. It's
it really is. Some
guys get it. You know, like as hard as he worked to get back to where, and the first day of contact, he's back on the table getting surgery. So it's not as serious as the other one, but you know, a pass catching tight end, you want their hands to be working. So I don't know. It happens. It's it's just weird how some guys it happens a lot to, and to other guys it doesn't happen at all to.
Well, you know, yeah, hopefully he gets back soon. Hopefully he's back for that first game. I think he'll be back. I mean, it is a thumb thing, and it's, like you said earlier, he can stay in shape and still learn the plays and do mental reps, you know, even though he can't get in the action. But they'll maybe have him in there part-time. Anyway, this week, head coach Kevin O'Connell was effusive in his praise of his kicker, who doesn't have an injury, and he's saying how great he was, and raving about him for, you know, making kicks. Everything he kicks goes through. And what happened out at practice after he started raving about Greg Joseph and his kicking?
Well, yeah, when people started tweeting out what he had said, I said, rookie mistake. You know, you're jinxing the ever living crap out of your kicker. That's not one thing you want to do, you know. There was once upon a time there was a kicker in Minnesota that was 35 of 35 going into a big game, and people talked about it, and the guy missed this kick. I don't know if you remember stuff like that.
Kind of do there, yeah.
But I was just joking. Yeah, it's like I said, he needs to immediately, knock three times on his head, knock on wood, blah blah blah. And then someone, I think Andrew Kramer, because I saw the crowd last night and I got out early because I didn't want to be stuck in that traffic leaving a practice. Apparently he hit the upright three times. One of them banked in. So, but then he went on and he ended making 7 of 8, including a 58-yarder at the very end. So it's all in
fun. 58, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all in fun. It's he was describing what it's, what it sounds like when he kicks. Now I didn't pay attention to what it sounds like. I'm not close enough, but he was talking, he compared it to like when a baseball hitter is in the groove and he's hitting the ball on the barrel of the bat, the way it sounds, the way that a mitt sounds whenever like a scout is, scouting a pitcher, it pops. And O'Connell was just saying that based on the sound, you don't even have to look up and because he knows it's good. Now there was supposed to be a competition with a Gabe Burkick, who had a good college career, but Gabe was so bad in that mini camp that they didn't even want to bring him any further. So release him. He was terrible. He missed everything, and so there was no competition. There was supposed to be a competition, and then Greg Joseph, has played. It's looked extremely good. And the special teams coach, Matt Daniels, has said it's going to be his best year. Now, that's not a lot to compare to, but I think he had a pretty good year last year. Now the head coach and the special teams coordinator are putting this guy up there. So, beware. Now, these people don't know Minnesota and kickers. So, they're playing with fire.
Talk to me when the lights come on and the games are for real. I did a story a long time ago for our golf magazine, Minnesota Golfer, that I worked for, and with Ryan Longwell, and he's a golfer. And I was, talking to him about golf and talking about kicking. And he says there's so much that's similar. I mean, it's muscle memory where you try to, get a routine and prepare, and so that every time you're doing it for real, you have that to rely on, and it helps you in pressure situations. But as we've seen, pressure changes it in golf, and it does in kicking too. It's incredible. I mean, Blair Walsh is a good kicker who missed a 27-yarder wide left to send to beat the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs at the vault over there in TCF Bank Stadium. It's a tough deal. So I mean, it was so much in preseason. You got to take it with a grain of salt, and and hearing this, maybe this is KOC exercising the demons of Mike Zimmer, who is, if you did miss a kick, he sent negative vibes at you like a voodoo doll. But now he's gone, and KOC is, you know, just getting that, building up that confidence in his kicker so that they go in with confidence and they go in with, you know, trusting their process and doing whatever, and can make some of those pressure kicks. I mean, it's, you know, it's a kick, it's a chip shot, it's the same thing. You just got to be able to do it under pressure, and that's why some people are really good golfers, and other people go to the live and make a lot of money.
But yeah, to me, it's like, if you're missing everything in training camp, that's a lot. That means a lot, and you get rid of a guy. If you're making everything in training camp, to me, that's I still have to see it in a real game. So it's, what's good is that he's not missing everything, but I don't crown him yet. I'm not going to crown his behind just yet. So
you didn't even bring up Daniel Carlson, for crying out loud, in the history of, you know,
it's funny. Cause the hindsight being, you know, 2020, there is not a coach, general manager, reporter, fan that left Lambeau or left the TV set after he, in that week two against the Green Bay, who said, you know what, we just got to stick with this guy. he was so done as a Viking.
Yeah.
That I'm surprised they let him on the plane to come home, but now that he's Daniel Carlson, and he's now, you could argue that, hey, someone high up on that food chain, Spielman or whatever, should have demanded that he, you know, I could see that. But, you know, the people who said, oh, you know, Zimmer shouldn't have got rid of it. There's nobody who thought that coming out of that game. He was so bad and so completely mentally blown out of the water that it was like, this guy will never be able to perform in Minnesota. And
well, he'll be playing him on Sunday, won't he?
Yeah, that's right. It's so, you know, maybe Carlson will make one with his eyes closed or something. Just to, I don't think have they played each other since
I think then? They did once. Yeah, I think that he came here once, either last year or the year before. And
right.
I don't think he kicked that much that it was remarked, but I think he was successful in all his kicks. And, you know, every time I see him make a late game kick, it just kind of grinds me a little bit. Even, you know, I never said get rid of him, but I think a lot of us knew Zimmer was gonna, right? You know, more so than, I don't think everybody was demanding that he be gone. But you know, we were all okay if he did.
Yeah, no one was saying, oh my goodness, this guy's got potential to be the best kicker, you know, one of the best kickers in the league. Yeah, and who knows, if he just stayed here, he may not have become who he became, because
not under Zimmer, I don't think so. I think it's
not just Zimmer, but you know, that kid had to go into that locker room. I mean, he looked like he was 12 years old.
Yeah.
And he's in that locker room with a lot of veterans. And, you know, I know that everyone said they said the right things and everything, but you know, there had to be a lot of players pissed off about that situation, about him missing those kicks, the fact that he's there. That's a lot to come back from in season, in the same situation. And Zimmer obviously wouldn't have helped it either. So
it's just the vagaries of the position, and you describe it. I mean, you were telling, without mentioning the name, what was the name who missed the kick in against the Falcons to not go to the Super Bowl? Gary Anderson. You know, he makes everything 35 out of everything all year long, and then comes up with the biggest game and misses it, and they're one of the reasons why they didn't make it. And this kid doesn't get a chance to even establish anything. And now, you know, it's just, in a lot of ways, you hear players talking about how devoid it is of real football. And in some ways it is, but boy, oh boy, does it ever add tension and drama and kind of excitement and angst and anger to the game. So, I mean, you know, as much as, you know, those players who grind it out in the trenches for 58 minutes and sit there and have to watch some guy waltz out there either make or miss and seal their fate is got to be tough on them, but it's great for fan excitement, I think.
Yeah, and then the bar has been raised so high
that
almost anything less, anything short of, you know, perfection or 96% or whatever is almost unacceptable anymore. It's like this guy, he made 86%, or Joseph made, I think, 86% of his kicks last year, which is pretty good. I mean, he had five game winners or gave them leads late in games. Did miss the one short, like 30-some yard field goal that would have beat Arizona, I believe. But you know, when you look at some of the disasters they've had, he was pretty good. And I do think that he has a good kicker's mentality. So, you know, I think he will have a good year. It's all kind of in fun, you know, just kind of poking fun at at the jinx. So, you know, anytime you say something in the NFL, it's like, oh, you know, here comes the jinx, you know.
Right.
Because it typically does.
Especially
in my when you're making predictions, it's almost – it becomes laughable sometimes. Where you'll say, well, this I guarantee this, or this will happen. And then, you know, the complete opposite happens.
Well, I guarantee we're going to take a break now because we both need a good drink of water because we've got the images of Daniel Carlson dancing.
We sound like Zimmer trying to speak over an airplane or something.
All right, we'll be right back with more on the Vikings Territory Breakdown. Welcome back to the Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, I got a bunch of questions to fire at you. Just quickly through this segment. Do you see any races out there being or position battles being clarified as we're in week three here of Vikings training camp? Anything crystallizing out there? Is it still things are still up in the air?
Yeah, you know, there aren't a whole lot of battles. I mean, right guard on offense is the only battle, and you know they call it a battle, but I you know unless they start, you know, Jesse Davis gets veteran days, you know, for because of his knee, and Ingram, you know, got some first team reps whenever Jesse Davis was out. But I've said all along that to me is Jesse Davis's position to lose if he stays healthy. You know, that should be two for me. But Mike must be working.
He must be in a meeting.
Yeah, you know, there's still a chance that, because there's, you know, three preseason games and everything, but I don't see a big competition at right guard. So, and then, you know, there's, you know, we're going to talk about him a little bit here, but Garrett Bradbury is, you don't see anybody else playing center with the first team, but I think there's competition there and they're trying to figure out whether this guy can play or not.
You talked about right guard. You didn't mention Wyatt Davis. Is the Wyatt Davis era over with?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, there's no attachment to him. I think he could be a good player. I don't know where that he fits.
Would you put him on the practice squad?
If no one else wants him and you keep him around, sure. I think I think he's a decent player. It's just, he's not. They went out and got a bunch of guys that they like, and they obviously, you don't do that thinking, oh yeah, unless you like. If you liked Wyatt Davis so much, you wouldn't have done a lot of the moves that they did. So,
yeah.
And then defensively, you know, I've all along. I mean, even though you see Cam Bynum and you see Dantzler still going with the first unit primarily, I've been saying all along. I feel that. You know, Booth is going to be a starter at corner. I think Seen for sure is going to be a starter at safety. So that's just how I've seen it.
So I saw somebody put online, much to the chagrin of Kevin O'Connell, a thing where Booth got torched by, I want to say it was Smith Marset or whatever. But he looked like he ran past him like he was standing still. So here I thought, you know, he could make no mistake this preseason, Booth, Andrew Booth, but I guess he's capable of it too.
Yeah, and then and there was some questions about Kirk and interceptions and stuff in practice. And you know, O'Connell, I thought, you know, yeah, I did have a good answer. First of all, he asked how many touchdowns Kirk had. But And O'Connell said he knew that, the answer, but he didn't give it. But, you know, this is, you've got to remember that, you know, it is practice, and these guys are trying some different things, and they're
practice?
You know, it's like
practice.
If you're not like taking chances and try to improve in practice, then you know you're not going to get better, I guess. So now that being said, that there's been some guys that don't look that good, so they must be trying a lot of different things. But you know, you can't. It's not going to be completely perfect in practice.
Yeah, you're talking about practice, Mark. I did my little impression there. You talked about quarterbacks. Well, the bigger drama, or not drama so much as the interesting battle to watch, is Mon versus Mannion. They keep trying, you know, you keep seeing them alternating back and forth between second string reps, and it really looks like, as you mentioned to me off air, that Kevin O'Connell would like to put Kellen Mond in that second string position. What do you see in there so far as that battle goes on, and how do you think it's going to play out for the second string quarterback position?
Well, I think they want to. They want the younger guy, you know, in there so you can kind of maybe groom him more. I don't know that it's going to work out. I mean, obviously we all know how Zimmer felt about Mond and how the fact that he was picked at a time when everyone's fighting for their jobs. But it was also the offensive coaches that, you know, didn't feel comfortable putting him in situations because he, and I still see, I am by far not, I am by no means an expert when it comes to watching quarterbacks or anything like that, but he just operates more slowly than what a NFL quarterback needs to operate at. He's slow to just, he appears slow to like, to everything. Seems like a half step behind most of the time. And I know that was kind of what the offensive coaches saw last year. It's certainly what Zimmer saw. You know, I don't know that, you know, Mannion's kind of that, like, you know, comfortable pair of jeans, you know, it's like, okay, well, I want to look good, but I'm going to put my, you know, my farming jeans back on, because I don't know if they can let go of that security blanket. Now, the fact that he played at Green Bay last year and prove that, you know, he wasn't very good, that makes it a little easier to maybe go to Mond if that's what you want to do. But right now, I don't see a, you know, and they're not, certainly not unique to the Vikings in that your second string quarterback is not going to be very good, but, or experienced or whatever. But they better, Kirk better stay healthy again.
There it is. Boy, you just, you know, there's no prize for saying this healthy stuff. You know, you get your little.
Oh, maybe there is.
Maybe there is.
Maybe there is.
Well, you know, so what do they got to see from Mond? I mean, you know, a more, you know, anybody that's young, and it's like you had said earlier in this podcast weeks ago that this is like his first year. So are you judging him as, this is his first year, when you see him still not up to speed, or are you saying he should be further along by now, or how are you looking at him?
Well, I'm not saying he shouldn't be anything. I'm just saying what I see now. And I mean, you know, he's going to play a lot on Sunday.
Yeah.
A lot. He'll play a lot in the preseason. So we will certainly see, even though he's not going against a regular season type defenses or probably won't be going against first stringers, you'll at least be able to see, you know, is he processing a little quicker? I mean, that was kind of what we saw last preseason was just didn't see a guy that was processing things real quickly enough. And when you're slow at that position, you know, you have no chance in this league.
He's got the arm. He's probably got the speed of foot. But that characteristic that you just described is really crucial in this league because things happen so fast, right? I mean, rather obvious statement, but you've got to be able to read and react so quickly at this position in this league to succeed, or else you're toast. You're just on the scrap heap.
Right. Well, that's why Tom Brady can play until he's 45 and could probably play until he's 48. He physically looks 25, takes better care of himself than any player in NFL history, But if his brain and his that part of him wasn't as fast as it is, he would never be able to play. You know, no matter what his body looks like, if his mind wasn't as fast as it is and able to just digest everything so quickly and know exactly where to go with the ball and know where everybody's at, and he couldn't do it. So now, obviously, Mond has, you know, not comparing him to anybody like that, but he's got to be able to show during these preseason games that he can move a little quicker on the field.
And, you know,
mentally.
We're going to find that out over the next few games, really get a good look at what he's like. I mean, he'll look good since he's not going against maybe first stringers, you know, in those games. He'll look good at times, but there'll be times when things break down. And if it doesn't happen for him, I think they got to bail on him, not this year, but certainly next year, and bring someone in. Supposed to be a really good quarterback class next year, so the Vikings probably need to figure out a way to move up and draft early, because I guess they'd probably know and we'd probably know by now if he was the quarterback of the future for this team. They would probably either sense that and want to, be planning towards that. It sounds like they'd like that to be, but talking to you, I don't think that's the case.
Well, if next year is a big quarterback class and there's a surefire number one, are you saying that they should tank? Like if they're down two touchdowns at halftime against the Packers, should they tank for whoever the guy is?
No, trade. I didn't say tank, and I'm not saying tank. I think they should.
I'm just saying that most fans now, the draft has become its own entity, and it's like, you know, if you're hey, 0-1, if you go 0-2, just tank it, man. Let's get that quarterback.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I just, you know, I was surprised they didn't draft one late this year. You know, just one of those late round picks for someone to look at. You know, someone to push Mond, someone to see if they've got what it takes so that they can develop, you know, other stuff. And that's what they always say. You should be drafting one for sure every other year, but certainly maybe every year. And in the Vikings situation where they got, you know, they got Cousins who's their quarterback, is going to be for a few more years, but eventually you want to get out from under that contract and get somebody in behind him. And boy, Manning and Mond just are not the guys to do it in my eyes, but you know, what do I know?
So you've called it.
I have.
He's done.
We got a draft. Mark, what does the interior defensive line look like? You can talk about the whole line. Do you see that coming into shape? And just who do you think's wearing? How are they going to handle that? Is it going to be a lot of rotation, like we've seen in the past from Zimmer, or is it going to be, you know, set a couple guys in there and just give them spot relief? What do you think what's going to happen on the D line?
Well, the interior D line's kicking the crap out of the center. I know that. Harrison Phillips looks really good, you know, and these guys, Harrison Phillips, Armon Watts, Dalvin Tomlinson, you know, they know all three positions. So, you know, you see them moving around. You also see, you know, they're not just going to line up in a 3-4 and everyone's going to be in the same spot all the time. You know, there's a lot of movement with Daniil and Zadarius, you know, shifting inside and things like that. I mean, so, you know, when Zadarius and Daniil come inside and on a guard, if they can isolate, you know, that's a lot of, you know, like Daniil on a guard or a center, you know, creating that mismatch is something that's, you know, I'm sure offenses find that they have to, it's a chess match, so they find a way to you know, counteract that. But, you know, to me, when you see that happen, that's a, you know, it's a good advantage for, you know, the Vikings to have, you know, a player like that, an athlete that size and going up against a guard or a center, you know, that's big. But as far as the defensive line, those three are the starters. And then, you know, they have different guys that they plug in there, but that's primarily, you know, those three guys. Armon Watts.
Are they called ends, or what are their position names? I mean, now you got edge rushers. So do you have defensive ends? Are they interior?
Well, I talked to, you know, I mean, not that I needed Vic to say this, but I talked to Vic Fangio for a Donatel piece that I'm doing, And he's just I asked him, you know, what are you looking for in those guys? And he goes, you're looking for three tackles, you know, because that, you know, there's the run stoppers. So, yeah, that's funny because people look at things differently. Like 1 year, I think they had to start clarifying, because I vote for the All-Pro for the Associated Press, and they had to start really clarifying things because they would have people voting J.J. Watt, you know, edge rusher and a tackle, which is a 3-4. So it's like, you know, he I think 1 year he made it first and second team at different positions, stuff like that. So you're basically looking for three tackles in there. It helps, you know, like I thought a Sheldon would be good in that situation, but he's still unsigned, I believe. But Armon Watts is a guy that has not been a starting, you know, he's gotten spot starts because Michael Pierce, you know, couldn't stay healthy. But be some pressure on him. Can he be a guy that starts every game? So it's going to be good. It'll be fun to watch and see how these guys. Dalvin Tomlinson, I don't think, had a great year last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be good to watch and see how these guys handle it. But I really like Phillips.
Watts flashed was at the end of last year where they got picked up like five sacks or something in the old formation. But I was listening to KFAN when I was driving here today, and one of the guys on the radio says that they thought he's going to be the underrated, under the radar player for the Vikings this year, Armon Watts, and just all of a sudden blow up maybe and do well. So we'll see how that goes, I guess.
Well, yeah, there aren't too many under the radar, but yeah, I would say if you had to pick one, he's I don't know who else you would put and qualify as under the radar. Booth, but we talk a lot about Booth. Scene, I don't. You know, we talk. I expect him to start. I mean, yeah. I would not be surprised at all on that one. Yeah, I mean, they have some. There's some definitely some talent, and if he can. He can be a guy that can get you five sacks. That'd be something.
We're going to talk in the next segment about someone who's not under the radar right now. Press biggest hot button going on at Vikings training camp this summer. So come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown, and we'll chat about it then. All right, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. I was going to ask Mark this question about who was a you know, it's rare when you, well, I shouldn't say it's rare, but they say you should, whenever you ask questions, you should know what the answer is before you do it. And I already know what the answer is coming from Mark Craig on this one. But I was going to ask him a veteran that he thinks might be cut going into this 2022 season. And I think I know what he's going to say. Mark, go ahead and take that one on.
Well, you told me I couldn't say Garrett Bradbury. Right?
That was in the last segment. I pulled it over to this one. You know, you got to roll with me, man. This is live action podcast. Okay. Come on now.
All right. Wow. Hey, Joe, that's the last reason. You're yelling at me. That's what the last guys did.
I'm just
you're supposed to take me aside and talk to me gently.
I'm sorry.
Put your arm around me and, you know, say it's going to be good. It's going to be all right.
I messed up, Mark. I moved you.
I'm busted up inside. I don't know if I can continue. So
well, if you prepared another veteran to be cut, we'd love to hear that as well. But we know that you think.
No, I couldn't. I could.
You said you wouldn't be surprised.
No, I would not be surprised if he's cut. I'm not saying he's going to be cut, but, you know, Kevin O'Connell came out, what day was it, Monday or Saturday? Yeah, Saturday. And we started asking questions about, and with Kevin, it's kind of hard because I don't know if people have noticed by watching online, but there's fewer questions because the answers are, Zim had answers like this. This guy has answers like that, you know.
Yes, I noticed that.
And they go, probably by design.
I mean, I didn't finish watching one because I said, oh my God, I got a life, you know, I gotta go do something else.
But it was, you know, there was probably a handful of us in there, and it was kind of like waiting until he got to the end so we could get the next one in. But it was like Bradbury, because, you know, he started talking about, you know, I started off, you know, he's raved about his run blocking, and he And he said, well, he's, you know, had some good pass protection, but he basically admitted that they are, you know, that they're, you know, seeing what the rest of us see. By opening practice, it's, you know, they probably realize there's not a bunch of dumbbells watching because the fans, they know, fans have never been more intelligent when it comes to football. Yeah. Reporters are watching. So we're seeing some of the, we're seeing some of these pass protection problems. So, my dog's barking. So, you know, he just went on about how, yeah, it's not, you know, that they're aware that, you know, it's, that there's still a problem. There is a problem with the pass protection and he needs to have better technique. He did say he feels he's strong enough. He has good enough technique, but he's just, they're challenging him technique, you know, to make sure that he's, you know, because he's not a big guy. So he's got to have that proper technique or he just gets run over.
Well, that seems fixable, isn't it? If it's technique, teach him the technique,
that's what
you go do it.
If it's technique, but to me, if this doesn't work out and say Garrett Bradbury is not your starting center or does not make the team, it's a huge mistake on their part because they thought that at a point where the track record for 3 years is all about, you know, this is what, you know, he's been rated, you know, Pro Football Focus has rated him the worst pass protecting center in the league 2 out of 3 years. And the other year he was second to last. It's been an issue, that protection up front. So if they came in thinking that they were smarter than the last group and they could, you know, do it with their system and their coaching, and it doesn't work out and you don't really have anyone behind him that's starting caliber and you have to go out and get a Treader or something like that, it's a big mistake to go this far and to be still, maybe he's not the guy. So,
and look at the first two games of the season, if I remember them correctly. They got Clark, who's basically ate Bradbury's lunch for the last how many years in Green Bay. And then don't they got some road grader from Philadelphia coming in here that is just everybody is talking about him just looking so good in practice. I've seen some film on him. It's like, oh, my goodness. I mean, even a good center would have trouble. Who?
Could it be the rookie? That was the one I picked from Alabama. From Georgia.
You wanted them to draft him.
It's been so long, I forget his name. But, I thought that would have been perfect for him. But
we'll know by then. I mean, it's like I saw someone else the other day wondering, scratching their head, what's the deal with J.C. Treader with all these problems with Bradbury going on in camp and pass protection. Why aren't they looking at him? And someone's saying that his knees are shot and he's probably looking for more money than his physical ability will give him. That was one spectrum. Oh, I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, I mean, he was head of the union. He was head of the players union, so he's not going to come cheap. So he's got a head on his shoulders. And I think he was making over $10 million last year. He's wanting a lot of money. And maybe when people are kicking the tires, they're finding out he's not. You know, because it's one thing to go after a name, but that name gets old. And people sometimes are like looking at a guy. They want a guy who was rated the best center 2 years ago. And while, you know, age, you know, they tend to deteriorate. So I don't know what the situation is, but if they end up going to a guy like that, it's to me, it's a big mistake because this is not, should not be a surprise that the center was going to be a weakness. It has the potential to be a weakness again. So
this could blow up the whole offensive system, the whole season. If they can't protect Kirk and you're left with Mannion to come in because he's hurt, or you know, you got to rely so much on a running game, you can't even get the passes out to the talent you have out there. This could really be bad for this team. I mean, what can they do? Can they scheme around to help a center? I mean, they got CJ Ham sitting behind him on every play and jumping in front of Kirk? What the heck? I mean, you said it earlier. This is a known weakness, and they did not address it, and they still haven't. This could be bad.
Well, yeah, I mean,
talk me off the ledge, Mark.
Yeah, Joe, I wouldn't jump just yet, but
okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can scheme, but the other team knows you're scheming to protect the guy, and there's certain things you could probably do, but I mean, at some point, because you start helping him out, then you know those tackles are dealing with the edge rushers in this league. Sometimes they need help too, you know. So it's you can't go an entire game where the center is going to get help out on all the big plays. So, you know, it's if they do indeed believe it's technique and that he does have the ability, then he needs to prove it. You know? So I don't know how much you're going to play in the preseason. Probably not a lot. So we'll see.
God, man, to me, you know, I've been bullish on this team coming in. I thought they've made the moves to help their defense. And, you know, as soon as they pick up the scheme and some of the new players, you know, figure out what life was like in the NFL, I think they're going to be decent as you go along on defense. Certainly improved from last year. The rest of the line looks pretty good. I'm okay with what they've done there. And they've got the talent, both in the backfield and on the receiving corps. And Kirk's happy as a pig in slop, for crying out loud, with the new Kumbaya regime. So, you know, and they got a kicker that can't miss. So the only thing you got that is glaring is this center, and they never addressed it. And I don't know. It's a little disappointing. I guess I'd be, you know, maybe they are behind the scenes, you know, looking to do something, but I'm sure there's not just centers sitting out there that are just the right price that fits under your cap that you can slide in here is going to be great. And Chris Reed is not the answer. You don't think he's somebody that can step in and at least make it better than it is with Bradbury?
Doesn't appear to be. I mean, he's never played it in center in an NFL regular season game. And, you know, most attention we've had on him is for botching two snaps in one practice.
That's
true, man. Yeah. So, I don't, doesn't seem to be that way. You know, in I guess a little bit in their defense is that, you know, you don't fix everything in one year. It's like you can't like turn over every position. I know people would say that should be a priority, but, you know, he is a former number one pick. They did have stretches where they played pretty well offensively with him in the lineup. So you kind of, you know, there's probably certain positions where you're like, hey, we just got to get by. We got to get this guy to improve or to be, you know, it's not like, Bradbury is like one of us going out there and trying to block, you know, he's not incompetent. He's just extremely inconsistent, I would say, in big plays whenever they come after him. So.
Well, I can see it already. 3rd and 8 and Kirk is thrown behind the sticks. It's because Clark is coming down his path, and Jeffrey Clark, I think his name is just, you know, same old stuff. Well, that's too bad. I guess I should wait to see what happened, and we're gonna see something happen on Sunday when the Vikings take on the Raiders in the first preseason game. I don't know that it will be all that much from the veterans, but it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. They only have 3 preseason games this year, but so not really a whole lot to preview there. I hope we get to see Davante Adams at least catch some passes, but that probably won't happen.
Well, they had the first preseason game, and they did. Obviously, those guys didn't play in Canton, but you know, maybe the trend is definitely away from anybody who's any good playing in these games. So I don't know. I would think maybe, you know, that a new receiver is out there.
They're at home, so maybe they want to trot out Adams just so that the fans can get giddy.
Nah, they don't care about the fans. Oh, wait, they say they do. Yes.
Well, one last question then. I saw you tweeted earlier in the week about you're pretty high on Ty Chandler, potentially Mr. Mankato down there at TCO. What do you see in there? And it's kind of a tough running back room to crack. I mean, you got Dalvin Cook and Madison, and then you've got Nguangu, or I can't remember how to say it, Kane, in front of him. That's, you know, that's 4th string. I don't know. Is that He's having a great camp. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if it's great camp, but these running backs, they come in. The running backs will like Kane last year. He stood out. Running backs have the of all positions, the running back has the ability to stand out more than like any other position as a rookie, unless you're like an elite receiver or like a different type of receiver. Like Chad Beebe to me stood out as an undrafted rookie when he came in for that tryout. You just kind of like, wow, that's unique. Is there kind of he couldn't stay healthy, Joe. But he had this, shiftiness to him. Now Kane looked like the speed last year, the way he just kind of glided. Chandler looks good. Chandler's a guy that's brought in, I would say. I don't see as good as Dalvin Cook is, and Madison will be coming into a contract year this year or next year. I don't see an analytics GM saying, okay, I'm going to give a 28, 29 year old running back the top money, or Madison the top money. So this Chandler could be your starting running back as early as next year, or it could be Kane and this guy in 2024. So, but I like his talent. He's, I haven't seen him catch a whole lot of footballs, but he looks really good. And one thing they haven't done this year that I've seen yet is like the pass protection with running backs trying to block Zadarius or Daniil and stuff like that. So one-on-one, those were some of the fun, more enjoyable like individual drills to watch, was to see how a 5'11", 210-pound guy handles, Daniil coming at him with all these different moves and stuff, and the size and power, obviously. So I don't know what his pass protection is like, but he's a guy that, the old Mr. Mankato, to me, it always had to be a late round pick. It couldn't be like a second round guy. Preferably you want it to be like an undrafted guy. So, he's looked good to me.
He must've been a BPA pick, because it certainly wasn't a position of need for the Vikings that late in the draft to take him, a running back. They seemed pretty stacked at running back. So I think they should have drafted a quarterback, and instead, maybe there wasn't anybody available. Anyway, what the heck? Mark, this healthy, stay healthy tracker you got going down here below. This used to be a bad thing to constantly rely on that. But now it says Mark Craig 4 and 0 for me. And like all of a sudden you're winning because you say this stuff. That's messed up, man. That's messed up. Can't rely Joe, on staying healthy.
Joe, I need new school leadership. I can't take this old school stuff. I'm going to start crying. So.
Yes, there's still some Zimmer in me. I still have Zimmer love.
Joe, this is the modern football now.
Zimmer showed up at Cincinnati's training camp last week. I guess his son is out there on the offensive side of the ball, which
I don't quite get that, but I heard he was spotted. Yes.
So we'll probably see more of him soon. You'll have to ask him what's up with Mike Zimmer. Is he sick of sitting on the ranch drinking red wine? Maybe he's got to get back in the trenches.
Maybe. I wouldn't mind having his little bit of a break, just sitting with your feet up, spending the Wilfs millions. I could get by with that kind of firing.
He's taking a Veterans Day off, and that's something that I need right now. So, on that note, we'll let it go for this week with the Vikings territory breakdown. We'll be back next week. We'll have the first preseason game to talk about. I don't know what's going to be able to say, but we'll talk about some of those guys that are battling for positions on this team. And until then, thanks to Mark Craig for giving us all his insight from out at TCO. Thanks for Mike Waldom for putting together that great tracker down below that embarrasses the hell out of me. And thanks for Joe Johnson for setting us up in the first place. Until we see y'all, thanks y'all for tuning in. So until then, until next week, keep on coming back, and go Vikings. Skull.